wherever you are, just lift your hand and say, Lord, I trust you. No. Though the wind may blow, Lord, you're my anchor. Though the storms may roar, Lord, you're my solid rock. Though the
God, you've been so good. thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your counsel. We thank you for your comfort. Come on, just lift your hands and just acknowledge everything you have in Christ Jesus. Ebenezer, oh Jehovah Ebenezer, no Jehovah Ebenezer, Jehovah Ebenezer, yes you are. Lord, Jehovah Ebenezer. Come on, lift your voices with me as we sing Jehovah Ebenezer. Jehovah Ebenezer. Lord, you are my helper. Jehovah Ebenezer. Sing, Lord, you are my helper. Yes, you are. Lord, you make that declaration this morning. Yes, Lord, Lord, you are my helper. Hey, Lord, you are my helper. Hey, and I will sing to the God who's got my back. And I will
just
Just acknowledge him. Just acknowledge him. Shirelele dosa talabayande. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you were to life again, and you have no rival, and you have no equal, Lord, now and forever. Our God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all name. You have no rival. Yes, Lord, you have no equal. Now and forever, now and forever, our God, you reign. Sing with me. Yours is the King. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against the name Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh, come and lift your voices and worship. The name of Jesus above every other name. Satalabayando setelele nayabalabash. Oh, Shatana Naina Lalabayena Dosa. Oh, the name Jesus. Satana Nayena Lalabasa Talabayene. Oh, all powerful name Jesus. Sanena Dosa Tele Nayabadosha Talababayan. Oh, come and lift your voices. Lift your voices. Hear the name above every other name. Oh, Shanana Dosa Tele. Wherever you are, just lift your voice. Oh, Satelena, Satelena, the name of Jesus. Oh, Shalabana, the name Jesus. Oh, come and lift your hands. Lift your hands. Acknowledge the name of Jesus. Oh, Satalabaye Kerele do Satalababash. Horena Satelene. Honande Larabano Satalabaya. Wherever you are, just come on, just pray in other tongues. Just pray in other tongues. Helele do Satalabaya. Oh, Shene Nanaso Tere. Oh, what a powerful name it is. Kena no sayana nerina nayana. Sara nene na no sitaya nere. Oh. In thou we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. No, how we love your name, Jesus. You're the with me how we love, how we love, how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. How we love, how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. Oh, how we love, how we love, how we love your name. Oh, shatanane darabasu terele. We love your name. Sanayane labanaye darabasu. Oh, come on, wherever you are. Lift up your hands. Salamane la baya. Telina su telele. Salamaya. Telilana yesu taya babasha. Hena la badose telele. Nanana. Jesus. Lift your voices, lift your voices as we worship our God. Selana na yena no sita ya badosia. Oh, shenene no sata la bayane. Rena ya maselene no sita. Oh, 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 oh. Senene na no sada dandela. Oh, how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. Shina do sante nia. We love your name. Hine do sante la yabande. Sada la ne da 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 no sana. How we how we love your name. Oh, na na no satalabaye. Oh, come and just sing in other tongues. Just sing in other tongues. Halanderi na no sutalabandera. Oh, let it rise from your heart. Kananela no sareli na na ya. Seleleli aba shantanela na na ye ne. Satala baba shetele na ya. Oh, shane kana ya mandela soye ne. Mayele. We love your name. Oh, how we love your name. Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just lift your hands and say, Father, I worship you. Wherever you are, just say, Father, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you for the love you have for me. I worship you because you love me first. And I worship you much more. for who you are. I worship you for who you are. Father, I worship you for who you are. Now let me just tell you that words that we utter, they are not enough for us to worship God. Why not just worship him in the spirit, singing unto him psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Just worship him. Maga libra gada, maga libra engelegede, mogologodo so hiregede gelegedo so vovodia galagadi bregedo gologodibra anda lagada, mondo logodo so mo vovodogo, mo vovodogo, ki bragada galagada sa mananadi. Brahanda lagadi bragadaga lagadasa iragadogo lina hakta libragadogo vobodogo vobodogo vobodi brahanda lagadasa kinadaga lagada kinadaga lagada ibragadaga lagadi brahanda lagadaga lagada kinadaga lagadasa. Father, we worship you and we are privileged to be the ones to worship you, for your word says that we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. We worship you for who you are. We worship you for who you are. Man and a dosa. Man and a dosa. Kira gadaga lagadibra handa lagadosa. Vobodogo logodo. Vobodogo logodibra hekde legedege legede. Vive hede. Vive hede. Legedege 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 legede. Mondo logodibra godoso. Father, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father of all spirit. We worship you because you are not just our God. You are our Father. You are not just our God. You are our Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are worshipped. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to welcome you to this Sunday service. It's going to be a special one. And I am sure you are ready to receive. I'm sure you're pen is ready, your paper is ready, but much more than those ones, your heart is ready to receive of God, of everything that God has to say to you. I'm sure your eyes will be open, your ears will be open, and your heart is open to receive, like I said, everything that God has to say to you. And now let's agree consciously together. Let's declare together, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. Our eyes of understanding are enlightened. Our eyes of understanding are flooded with light in the name of Jesus. We know the hope of your calling. We know everything that you have for us in this service in the name of Jesus. Everything is clear to us in the name of Jesus. Our spiritual eyes see, our spiritual ears hear, our hearts are open to receive of you, Lord, and our hearts are receptive, just like Lydia in the book of Acts, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because we have and we receive everything that you have for us in this service, and we are transformed. We become better as a result of this service. In the name of Jesus, we become better, we become improved. We grow in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Once again, I want to welcome you to today's service. And like I said, I'm sure your pen is ready. Your books or your jotters are ready. And much more than those ones, your heart is ready. Thank you, and let us go on in the service. Hallelujah.
Declare that I am strong in the strength. always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I have a need, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
You are my hiding place.
You are my hiding
place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I have a
I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You alone, God, I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
I will trust in you.
Trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I'll trust in you. I will trust in you. Trust in you. I will trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust. Trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for always blessing us with your Spirit, your presence. We have your Spirit. We have your presence. But that manifests, that infilling of it, that graciousness. Thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. We honor and appreciate you greatly. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, yeah, for the anointing. Always stirred up where our lives are concerned. Oh, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Welcome. 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 It's the last Sunday of the month. Whoops. So, okay. I believe it's been a great month. I believe we've had a great time. I believe, you know, it's been good. And guys, it can only get better. One of the things we use in defining how our lives will be, well, the core thing we use in defining our lives, one of the verses, now that's where one should have come from. One of the verses we use in defining how our lives would be Proverbs 4:18, right? It says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. All right. So one of those verses that we get to use. Okay. So we use also Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, said God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some say future and the hope. So we just find that your life is secure. All right. Your life is secure. So it can only get better. So July is going to be better than June. Amen. Yep. July is going to be better than June. We're going to have a great month, July. We're going to have an exciting time. We're going to enjoy so much victory, so much grace, so much glory. It's going to be exciting. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. So on Wednesday, we began, all right, this teaching on the simple but important things about prayer. So just in case you missed the Wednesday service, just check for the video in case you're watching on Facebook. In case you're watching video, just scroll and look for last Wednesday. And then if you're listening on audio platform, Spreaker, just check right there, right? Just a service before this. And then you could understand exactly, all right, what we built up before we got into this. So we talked about simple but important things about prayer. And then we said, okay, when do we pray? Bible says everywhere. I mean, when do we pray? Every time. What time? When? What's the best prayer time? All right. Bible says pray without season, all right? Praying always. I know some will tell you early morning prayer, all right? Before you start hearing Allah, Akbar, 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 you know, you should get up and quickly saturate your own atmosphere before they put their own demons in the air, all right? And then some will tell you, no, it's 3 a.m. Some will say, no, it's 12 noon. And then you almost wonder, which one is it? Allow my next Yoruba phrase, Tori Olorun. I mean, which one really is it? Is it early morning? Is it midnight? Is it 12? Is it what? Pray always. So Bible then gives us room that every time is prayer time. Every time is good for prayer. And we saw 2 weeks ago in the life of Jesus Christ. Well, last week, actually. All right. We saw in the life of Jesus Christ how that he prayed in the morning. Then he prayed at night. Then he prayed all night. So we see him pray in the evenings. We pray. I mean, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, it wasn't dead of the night. It was still evening time of the night. It wasn't night. All right. There was a lot of activity. It was just evening. So that was evening time. They still came. They arrested him, took him out there. The crowd was out there. So it wasn't nighttime. All right. And they had to round up a lot of things they were doing because they were praying for Passover. So it wasn't night. So you find that he prayed. So you pray. If you now find a certain time of prayer more convenient for you, use it. If you find a certain time of prayer, you know, maybe the word is still convenient, conducive for your work schedule, all right, for your personality. Some of us are more morning people than night. Some are more night, some nocturnal than, you know. So what suits you? And then also then there might now be prayer times based on instructions and revelations, all right? But I'm asking, don't be superstitious, all right, about it. I've heard different things on prayer. I'm like, I get that, but can we at least encourage everybody to let them know from scripture, right, that the best time to pray is now. The best time to pray is every time, all right? That the time to pray is every time. Every time is the time of prayer, all right? So we looked at that on Wednesday. We also said, where do we pray? 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul said, I will that men will pray everywhere. Lift up with your hands. Wednesday was awesome. Please get it. All right. So you are the temple of God. So You don't have to wait to get to church to pray. You don't have to, you know, people say churches are trying to open because they are looking for money. Maybe some churches, but it's really absurd. I think statistics show, I believe statistics, we don't really have statistics here in Nigeria, but statistics and practice even shows, all right, that you have more people giving online, all right, by practice. By practice, you have people who give online than we do have people bringing money to church. All right. Checks have reduced a whole lot in churches. Checks have reduced. Cash, a whole lot has reduced. So that back in the day, all right, you want to give what, 50,000 naira, and then you have to put it in, you know, a big brown envelope and it shakes the offering basket, you know, and all of that. That really was like old school for a lot of people right now. People transfer. So people have been transferring funds, you know, like last 2, 3, 4, you know, 5 years, it's still getting better in a lot of places, but that's how things have run. So when someone says, oh, churches are, don't mind them, they just want to open because they're looking for money. Money was never the factor, because money is not given in the services most times. All right. You even might be amazed as to the fact that people transfer funds during the week sometimes than they even do on a given Sunday. All right. Monday through Saturday, you find funds coming in than on a given Sunday in a lot of churches. So that's why you find churches consistently encouraging people. And then some, of course, do the POS. Whoever can flash POS. My point is, don't join what people say who, and some of them are born again. I've even heard a preacher say that too, you know, but it is amazing to think, you know, why don't you look at the figures, look at the statistics. Do people still bring that much? Or they're with all these, they are big people to come to church. And is it Ghana must go? They want to use to now, you know, all the tithes maybe they kept all through COVID. They would have transferred the thing now online. Everybody was home, so money was transferring itself or moving via internet. Churches need to open. There's a beauty in physical corporate worship. Just that beauty in all of us lifting up holy hands together. Now, I've seen it. I mean, my wife had this, you know, Zoom meeting with certain people. I've had meetings with people who do leaders meetings online, and the power of God is present. All right. So, hey, I know you could worship in different places and the power of God is present. But there's a beauty. There's a beauty. Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of one another. There's that beauty in corporate worship, that corporate fellowship, that togetherness, that union, that brotherhood. Can we do it online? Yes, we can. But hey, do you understand that? So the togetherness, is more of that togetherness, that united prayer, that corporate prayer, that it's a lot more of that. It's a lot more of that. Do you know that there are loads of people who don't go to church online? All right. And then their churches are online, and then they have the money to be online. What I mean is they have the data. They don't have any issues, and then they are not online. All right. They sleep, they wake up. Sunday is like resting day. They sleep till 11. Service is over. I'll check it later. They end up not checking it. They enter their week, do other things. They Netflix, they do other things online, but not really always church. You know that. All right. And then there are people also, I know this whole period, not born again and not serious with God, who found Jesus online. It's just amazing how the whole season has been. All right. So God is everywhere. All right. So where do we pray? Everywhere. So we could pray online too. I know. So you don't have to, I go into all that saying, you don't have to wait to get to church to pray. I just had to digress into that point because some have now used that to say, hey, you don't pray everywhere. Well, we know. We're not religious about it. All right. We're not religious about it. So you don't have to wait to get to church to pray. You don't have to wait to get to a particular place to pray. You don't have to. All right. You don't have to wait to get to a particular place to pray. No. No, you pray. You pray. You pray. You are the house of God. I would that men will pray everywhere. In the bus, in the car, on the plane, on a bike. I've prayed on the bike a number of times. All right. And prayer is not, no, it's you're talking to God. You're in fellowship. You're in fellowship. I've gone to places to minister and I had to take a bike maybe to get there a few times, and you're talking to God right there. Shut your eyes behind the back. I cannot shut my eyes. Then open, close, open, close. Or you could still pray with your eyes open. Most important thing is the focus in your heart. All right. So thank you, Lord Jesus. So best prayer location. Everywhere. The best place you find. Jesus said, lock yourself up in a closet to pray. All right. When he said so, he himself wasn't locking himself up to pray. So he was basically needing to talk about focus. You're not doing prayer because you want people to see you and applaud you for praying. You're doing prayer, all right, because you want to talk to God. So shut your mind off people and focus on you and God. So let's move now to today's zone. So what's the best prayer position? What's the best prayer position? Some say, man, you need to kneel down to pray. The prayer will be easier. So what's the best prayer position? On Wednesday, all right, we read Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul was, Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul was talking about him praying for the Ephesians church. And he said, I bow my knees. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, before whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So kneeling, which is, all right, about the most popular type, all right, of prayer. So see Acts chapter 9 of Acts and then the 40th verse, Acts 9, all right, and the 40th verse. So Peter needed to pray for Dorcas. So let's just speak it from 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning over to her said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and, you know, she saw Peter and sat up. So we see here, Peter knelt down to pray. So we see Paul in Ephesians 3 and verse 14 saying, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Peter praying here. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 42. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings, yappy, and then 18, aha, and then 42. Mm-hmm. All right. So Ahab went to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to, all right, the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. He cast himself down upon the earth. He threw himself to the ground. He put his face between his knees. Obviously, if he cast himself down, you might think, oh, he's lying down. But then he can't put his face between his knees, lying down. So he must be in a kneeling position. Then his head is bent into his knees. All right. So we see a lot of people saying, man, let's pray serious prayer like Elijah did. All right. But looking through scripture, it happens to be one of the prayer positions we find in the Bible. So Paul said, I bow my knees. All right. Peter knelt down when he was going to raise Tabitha up from the dead. And then we see, okay, in, you know, First Kings here, chapter 18, Elijah putting his head between his knees. Obviously, he would have had to kneel down. Okay. He threw himself to the ground, knelt, and bent his head over to his knees, and he prayed. So kneeling is if you grew up in an Orthodox setting, you go to church and then you kneel a couple of times in the service. So we kneel to pray. All right. I've been there. I'm Anglican by descent, all right? So, my parents, grandparents, you know, and of course, then there were all the digressions from my parents of, you know, Kirubum and all of that, you know, going on. But, you know, the entire family is Anglican, all right? So you do that. You kneel, and then you go ahead. If you grew up Catholic, you know, Marif was, she's been Catholic for a while, you know, Roman Catholic, you know? So I'm sure, We're all used to kneeling down to pray. All right. So, but is that the only prayer position we have? Let's see what Jesus said. All right. In Mark 11:25, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. All right. So that your heavenly Father also will forgive you the things you might have done. When you stand praying, forgive. So he said, stand. So that means standing is a prayer position. Did you get that? When you stand praying, forgive. And if you look at John 11 at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus was talking to them and standing. And Bible didn't have to now tell us he changed his position. We were not told he knelt. We're not told he sat. We're not told he did anything. He just prayed. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. So he still did all that standing. Do you understand that? So even Jesus stood up to pray. And then we find him, standing not just once. Alright? So, John 17 did not tell us he had to kneel down, because John 17 did not end with he rose up from his knees and said. Alright? No, he just prayed. So obviously, we could, you know, Bible didn't say, so Bible didn't say, Bible did not say not. So we could as well just say, Bible didn't say he stood up. So, you know, it's like when you look at 1 Samuel 16, alright, in the anointing of David, alright, as king, you know, Samuel said, and we would not sit down till he comes. You remember that? So they had to go fetch David. And then when David walked in, Bible said, he arose. So that means he sat down. So, but he said, we will not sit down till he comes. But then he arose. So how would he arise if he didn't sit down? So you now need to think of what could be inferred here. It could be, we would not sit to meet. Sit for, you know, you're supposed to ideally sit down, then they bring things to you. So he said, no, we're not going to have time for any level of entertainment until this business is done. So it might not be Samuel had to stand and then someone had to go. We cannot tell how far, all right, the place where he was shepherding the sheep was, and then they got him and then he had to settle, you know, the sheep with someone and then come over to the house. So Samuel likely wasn't standing all through. Samuel sat because Samuel had to get up. All right. So, but the point was the fact that Samuel was obviously telling them, we can't sit for entertainment. We can't sit for leisure. We can't sit for pleasure until the business we came to accomplish here has been accomplished. So you have to, you know, try to read the context and get exactly, you know, what is being communicated to us. You read the context and get what is being communicated to us. So we see standing, all right? We see kneeling. So Matthew 26 and the 39th verse. Matthew 26, 39. So Matthew, quickly, all right? 26, yep. And then 39 of Matthew chapter 6. We find Jesus here in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right? So he's praying. Oh, well, about to pray. So Matthew 6, 39. So let me pick it from 37, all right? And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. 38 now. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he went further and fell on his face. So he went further and threw himself to the ground face down. Passion Translation says, all right, he fell on his face. So everybody just basically saying he fell on his face. Gospel says he quickly bowed his face to the ground and prayed. He quickly bowed his face to the ground and prayed. King James says he fell face down, all right, and prayed. That's Amplified, rather. He fell face down and prayed. Amplified says he threw himself upon the ground on his face. So I guess it's still a lying position, a prostrate position. So we see kneeling, okay, we see standing. Now we see he's prostrate. All right, so Psalm 63 and then verse 6. Psalm 63, verse 6. Some of you are going to like this one. So Psalm 63, verse 6. Psalm 63, all right, and then 6 verse. All right, just give me a minute. Yep. 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 Okay, 6, 3, and 6. So David says here, when I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the night watches. When I remember you on my bed. Someone says, you'd have read this one first. You know, it's sweet. Yes, you could lie down and pray. And this is not the only instance in the Psalms where we'll find the psalmist mentioning being on the bed or in lying down position. So not prostrate, but lying down. So you could lie down to meditate. You could lie. And when you meditate, actually, you're in a prayer position. You're in a prayer mood. You're talking to God. All right. You're meditating. You're fellowshipping with God. And I've taught that, all right, somewhere within this series, all right? In the place of meditation, you also fellowship with God. So we see prayer positions, all right? So we see kneeling down, we see lying face flat, we see, all right, standing up. We see what again? We see lying on the bed here in the Psalms, all right? And then we see the lifting up of hands. That 1 Timothy 2 and 8 that we used for, you know, where can we pray everywhere? Paul said, I would that men we pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. It's also a prayer position. All right, it's a prayer position when you lift up holy hands. Can we do that right now? Thank you. Father, just lift up holy hands. 1 Timothy 2:8. I would that men will pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We lift our hands to you. We lift our hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, this prayer position is mentioned in Psalm 141 and the second verse. The psalmist said, all right, let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Okay. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Psalm 141 verse 2. Let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. And this is important, guys. This is really like important. Why? You have to understand that the evening sacrifice was one of the most important times of sacrifices in the life of the Jews. And if you remember the battle that Elijah had with the prophet of Baal on Mount Carmel, Elijah told them from morning to cry on their God, and the men cut themselves and screamed and did all that. Elijah waited for the time of the evening sacrifice. This is important to the Jew, right? It's important. It's a classic moment of sacrifice. All right, so now, a time of sacrifice is when you bring the animal, you kill it, you burn it and all of that. So the psalmist, and there's something about the Psalms, David especially, now all the Psalms are not written by David, but largely by David, so it's called the Book of David, all right? All right, it's the Songbook of David. You know, Yorubans would call it Ori Dafidi, all right? So it's the Songbook of David, you know, but we know that there's Moses there, there's Korah there, and all, but largely David. And then we find David prophetically switching into New Testament. He just, by revelation, by relationship with God. So David said, so all I do by lifting up my hands is already equal to all of that. Get a goat and kill it and offer it, and just like this. Yes. All right. And Paul now comes and says, I would that men who pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. So that means David saw it ahead that, you know, with all these things we do, sacrificing, killing and shedding blood, one day all we just need to do is raise our hands. So go ahead where you are. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What a privilege. All right. To be in this New Testament, Father, that we don't have to kill goats and kill bulls and have to offer up blood to be accepted by you. Thank you for the one time blood shed by Jesus. And thank you that we are now, all right, that holy living sacrifice unto you. So we could just lift our hands to you in worship. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We praise you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we could say that this really, according to Paul, is almost like a recommended prayer position. He said, I will that men will pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. So in your times of prayer, it could be a few seconds up and down and all, but just learn to lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. You could lift it in a time of praise and worship, but you could lift it also in a time of prayer. He said, I would that men will pray everywhere. He didn't say, I would that men will praise, lifting up holy hands. He didn't say, I would that men will worship, lifting up holy hands. He said, I would that men will pray. So prayer is all of it put together. I would that men will pray everywhere. So I could be, thank you, Father. I have direction. Oh, thank you because you lead me. Oh, rabadagabo so vereke bom prorogodo. Eh, la bam pradaga doroko doko do so venenemo gogo vigege dege dogo dogo do. Fa fradaga da se monta la gada. Then pace back and forth, or you sit where you are, you lie in a nombro dogodo se munda karagada. But even in a lying position, your hands could go up some. And then kina pranto sam pradeke do so vereke dodo boso. You know, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. But it's an interesting prayer position I left up, all right, to the last point. And that's just sitting down. I'll say, how is it a prayer position? I like it. All right. In Acts 2 from verse 1, Bible says that now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there was divided upon each one of them cloven tongues as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the Holy Ghost came upon them while they were sitting. So the Holy Ghost could come on anybody while sitting. It means sitting is approved by God. All right, I know that sounds funny, but hey, sitting is approved. God could have waited for when they were standing, could have waited for when they were kneeling, could have waited for anything, but he came upon them while they were sitting. All right, listen, because how do you pray in a car? You're seated. How do you pray on a bike? How do you pray on a plane? On a train, wherever it is you find yourself, how you pray there? Sitting. So sitting is a solid prayer position. You could pray, all right, on a journey, all right? You could pray. Paul talked about him, you know, 1 Corinthians 14 and the 18th verse said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all. So for Paul to be able to do that, that means he must have given a lot of time to prayer. So he must have prayed in, you know, every position, you know, location he might have been able to, you know, find himself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that is that about, you know, the best prayer position. So what is the best prayer volume? All right. What's the best prayer volume? Some say, you have to raise your voice and pray. And then some say, no, now, you know, you don't have to scream. So what's the best prayer? So, you know, some of us are not comfortable if we don't pray out loud. All right. So Acts chapter 4 and the 24th verse. Acts 4, 24. What does he have to tell us? Acts 4, 24. All right. So Acts 4. Where's my Acts? Found my Acts. 4 and 24. Yep. Yeah. All right, you are. Watch this. Acts 4:24 says, and when they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, all right, and said, Lord, you are God. You've made heaven and earth and sea and all that is there. And they lifted up their voices to God, all right. That didn't sound like gentle prayer. That sounded like they raised up their voices, all right. So it's very okay, all right, to raise up your voice to God to pray. But some are naturally loud, all right. Some are not naturally loud. Some get loud as the prayer intensifies, all right. Some are calmer and cooler, and even when it intensifies, it can still be low in volume, all right. Different things, all right. But point is, don't be rigid, okay. If you're always a very loud one that you have to pray, there are instances. I mean, there's this dear man of God who was in a particular hotel room somewhere in the U.S. praying, all right, and he said the person in the next room had to tell him, I'm going to call the cops, all right, because you're disturbing us. All right. I mean, and he said, I came all the way from Nigeria. I'm not looking for trouble. All right. So he said, next time, anytime you know, he tries to get a hotel room that is very close by the window and where, you know, he knows that he's not going to disturb anybody. But even at that, you might say to lower his voice a bit, you know, so you don't want your neighbors having to always bang the door and say, hey, all right, shut down the volume. We can't sleep. We can't sleep. Now, certain instances, there are people that have been caught up in, you know, intense intercessions and all, and then their voices, you know, were like raving all, you know, all over. But when you can, because there are places where you might have to pray and you might have to pray quietly. And that's what we'll now see in this next verse we're going to look at. So we've seen where, at least in one instance, they raised up their voices. So in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul obviously was talking about order in the church services. All right. What we refer to as a believer's meeting. You have a prophecy, you know, and all that. So 1 Corinthians 14. I could pick it from where. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, the 17th verse. He says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, he's talking about someone that has a prophecy in tongues, all right? Yeah, prophecy in tongues, because prophecy is what is you speaking, all right, an inspired utterance. God gives you a message in a language you know. That's prophecy, all right? Tongues is when God now gives you a message in a language you don't know. That's, you know, tongues. And then it needs an interpretation. So interpretation is now God giving a revelation of what was said in that tongue. So me saying prophecy in tongues, I'm trying to explain, of it's not tongue of prayer tongue. That's what I mean. So it's you having a message, all right, but it came as tongues. So that's 1 Corinthians 14, 20, 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and let, you know, and that by course, let one interpret. So it's talking about tongues and interpretation. That's tongue there. So let two or three people, all right, give the tongue, and then let there be an interpreter. So verse 28 here, it says, but if there be no interpreter, please notice this, if there's no one to interpret, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. That means it's possible, all right, no wonder Paul said the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. So he said, let him speak, all right, to himself and to God. It means you just, you know, speak quietly. So is it possible to speak quietly? Yes. Is it possible to speak loudly? Yes. All right. We don't have to fight ourselves. Just find a balance somewhere. And if you're too quiet and you know that makes you drowsy and doze off, do something about it. Maybe raise your voice some that you can hear yourself. You know, so it's not just, And then your mind wanders off. Then you could raise your voice somewhere and just kenanana manaka dosas right again. So it's still not karabom fradagada semonda harabasa. So it's still kenanama sike borobosus of yebedeke don prodogodo. I mean, you're in an office, you know that there's something funny going on in the office, you need to take authority over it. Quickly get into the restroom. You can go into the restroom and do Shanto Lebolo Selolobosusaba. You still go there in the name of Jesus, I think. So we all know that even no matter how loud we get, all right, there'll be moments where we need to, you know, be softer. And really sometimes, no matter how soft you are, especially when it's a united prayer, everybody needs to maybe raise their voice. You don't have to be loud, but at least you should be heard. All right? Did you get me? You don't have to be loud, but you should be heard. I mean, like that Hagin said, right? When there's an argument going about to the two camps, right? Some will say, but, you know, why are you guys shouting? God isn't deaf. And then the others will say that he didn't complain to that he's hypertensive. So why are you too low in your voice? I mean, God didn't say he has hypertension. So if you raise your voice, he won't faint. He won't run into shock or go into coma or something. God is fine if your voice is loud. All right. So everybody just argues, but most important things just blend with. All right. So what's the best prayer volume? The one that suits whatever it is you're doing per time and where you are per time. All right. If you're somewhere far away, I mean, raise your voice. You're in the prayer ground, blast. You know, blast off. All right. So what's the best prayer language to pray in? All right. We're looking at simple, very simple stuff, but important things about prayer. And I believe this is helping someone just, you know, deal with a few myths on prayer. All right. So what's the best prayer language? All right. What's the best, you know, prayer language to, you know, to pray in? Some might say, wow, me, I know, is Yoruba, you know, there are some things you're not explaining in English at all. When you now say it in Ijile, konko. You know, when you just enter that conk, you know, and then, you know, and it happens with us, you know, when it comes to praise and worship, you know, where, you know, there's this thing we call, oriki, you know, and then, you know, when they start, is it eulogizing? No, I'm not, you know, anyway, when, you're right, so, you know, so when they start, you know, singing God's high praise and then, oyigi, yigi, even you that are not God, you'll be feeling it for God. You know, you get off your chair, you roll off the floor. You're like, man, I don't know how God is feeling right now. You know, so sometimes you just picture God also getting up and rolling and whatever. I mean, I hope you're not thinking of God rolling, you know. But, you know, you just think, man, you know, Father, we thank you. Father, we just glorify your name. Thank you for redemption. Man, it's not serious. And just, bani bani lojo gbogbo bani bani lojo shuro bani bani ni kinu eya juda, hey, you know, just say, hey, come here, see you, hey, baba, you know, and then just hype it up, man, like, hey, God's head just starts going, vroom, 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 vroom. And God just sounds like King Herod. What do you want? Even to the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. You know, we are finished psyching him, and, you know, God's head is like, you know, very, very much swollen. All right. But we've, need to understand that no matter how rich a dialect is, whether it's, you know, Latin, and Latin is quite rich, Greek, you know, is quite rich, you know, and then Yoruba really, yeah, is rich. Igbo, I mean, Igbo is rich, you know, and all. No matter how rich your dialect might be or your language might be, it cannot express the depths of God's riches and God's glory like when you talk in tongues. It cannot. There's so much about God the human mind is yet to fathom. All right. There's so much about God that the human mind is yet to fathom. Let's see what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. All right. 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So Paul, all right, he's talking about when someone invites you, all right, to have lunch and then, or maybe you want to eat and then you are asked, all right, to pray over the meal. All right. So verse 16 of 1 Corinthians says, else, when you bless with the Spirit, all right, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? 17 says, for you verily give thanks well. So allow me pick that in a few versions so you understand this. NLT says, for if you praise God in the Spirit, how can those who don't understand your praise go along with you? How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you're saying? That's 16. All right, Passion Translation says, otherwise, if you're praising God in the Spirit, how could someone without the gift participate by adding his amen to your giving of thanks, since he doesn't have a clue what you're saying? NIV, otherwise, when you're praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else, all right, who is now in the position of an inquirer say amen to your giving of thanks? All right, so, you know, how can God's word? Otherwise, if you praise God only with your spirit, how can outsiders say amen to your prayer of thanksgiving. So, you know, I use the example of you're there at the dining and they say, okay, let's pray over the food. So, Father, we thank you. But you didn't say anything, just went karaba prodo godoso frenondo kurada kenise sena kodoso. Of course, at the point where you pause, everybody just knows, okay, he has finished. Amen. All right. But just basically when it's, you know, you are leading people, which is a clearer context here on praise and general thanksgiving, you are leading. Now, this is not you personally. You are with other people. How do they say amen? But I want you to notice the 17th verse. So King James says, for indeed you give thanks well. All right. It says the other is not edified, but he said, indeed you give thanks well. I want you to see amplified. It says, for you are giving thanks well enough in a way that God is glorified. All right. Because you're doing it in tongues. You're giving thanks well enough in a way that God is glorified. All right. You're giving thanks well enough. 17. CV says you're worshiping God in a wonderful way. All right. He says you may be worshiping God in a wonderful way, but no one else will be helped. So you are doing it in a wonderful way. Let me go up to what now? NLT, you will be giving thanks very well. All right. Passion Translation says your praise to God is admirable. All right. Of course, they keep adding a but there because you're with other people. All right. So if you consider them, then you do it in a language they understand, or you do it in tongues and then you switch back to a language they can comprehend and they properly say amen. So if because I understand that he's the king, the same way in English, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, you know, the same way I could say all that in my understanding, there are dimensions of his greatness that I don't understand. But when I lift my hands and I say them in tongues, but the truth is, I haven't said them in tongues. I've said it well. I also might need to be edified with what I've said. So the Holy Ghost might have to give me some interpretation of words I spoke. It might come as a song, just writing up in your heart, and singing the praises of God. It might come as just words that sound like poetry, and it comes out of your mouth, and you're singing for the praises of God. But this is you blessing him. This is you praising him. Alright, so what's the best prayer language? What is the best prayer language? Ephesians 6. Alright, and the 18th verse of Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. So the best prayer language. The best prayer language. The best prayer language, praying in the Spirit. The best. It beats every language. Why? Because it is not limited by knowledge barrier. It's not also limited by language barrier. There are things you cannot fully express in your mother tongue. You still run short of words. But when you switch into praying in the Spirit, there's no limitation. There's no hindrance. The Holy Ghost himself comes to help you pray. He comes to help you pray and to pray right. He comes, you know, to help you pray and to pray well. Oh, thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. This is exciting. So it says praying always, right? With all prayer. And we're going to come back here very soon because it says praying always with all prayer. Because before we end, we need to talk about different kinds of prayer. I'll just mention a few. All right. So it says praying always, all right, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So all prayer. I could pray all prayer in the Spirit. I could pray all prayer. So no matter the earthly language your parents give to you by birth or by upbringing and everything, all right, switch into tongues. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, all right, and the 15th verse of 1 Corinthians 14, he said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. The Spirit came first. Of course, again, with tongues and interpretation in context, but the Spirit came first. I will do this thing in the Spirit. I will do this thing by the Spirit. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray. There's so much to cover. Oh, when you and I talk in tongues, no wonder. And we've got to read this, please. I know you know it. I know we've read it a couple of times, but we never get tired of it. Romans chapter 8 and the 26th verse. Likewise, the Bible says, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Haven't prayed and prayed about your job and your wife and your baby and you prayed and prayed it all in your understanding. Switch. So it's still okay if you want to start with your understanding. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Oh, Father, thank you. I pray that now my, about this business, about this company, you know, about my career. I pray about these plans. I pray about this project. I pray. And then you set it out. You say, I mean, because it's your understanding. So you want to set out a direction for yourself. So your mind, even when you're praying tongues, your mind wants to wonder, you said, this is my direction. This is what I'm praying about. And then, you know, thank you, Father, because your word says, and you put out the word. Please understand that. Right, the best way to pray. All right, let me just say that while I'm at it, the prayer format. You don't pray to Jesus, right? You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father in the name. Let me do that and I'll come back here, please. Allow me while I'm at it. I believe there's a need to just deal with that right away. All right, so let me do that right away. John 16. All right, so John the 16th. Chapter 16. You know, so John 16, and then we go to the 23rd verse of John 16. Watch what Jesus says. He says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. What's talking about in the day of his resurrection? In that day, you will ask me nothing. This is prayer format. In that day. So how do I pray? All right. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. 24 says, up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. So this here just is talking to them about prayer. All right? So you don't pray to Jesus. Now you could talk to Jesus. You can fellowship with Jesus. You don't pray to the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, I pray to you in the name of Jesus. No. But you could tell the Holy Ghost, this thing is not clear. All right? I know you're here to guide and direct me, so... we're together in this right now, so I receive clarity on this matter. You teach me all things, so I receive. So you're talking to the Holy Ghost. You could fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You fellowship with Jesus, right? Oh, dear Lord Jesus, thank you. I mean, you could thank Jesus. You could praise Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I just love you. I thank you, right? You acknowledge him. You thank him. You bless him. But you want to make a prayer, all right? Or petition. We'll talk about that. You want to pray prayer. You ask in his name, but it's addressed to the Father, all right? You talk to the Father. In the name of Jesus, all right? In his name means in his stead. In his name means with his stamp of approval, you come as him. So you talk to the Father in the name of Jesus, all right? But someone says, but Jesus said, ask me. Yes, that's in John 14. So let's look at John 14 and see what he's saying there. John chapter 14, verse 13. It says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified, all right, in the Son. 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do. Please note, he didn't say initially, ask me. What he said here is, whatsoever you ask in my name, all right? John 16 is clear, all right? He says, up until now, you have asked me nothing, all right? Very, very, I say unto you, that's 23. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. He mentions Father in John 16. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, in John 14, he didn't mention the Father. John 14, 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So is there a confusion here? No. The word ask here, Bible scholars reveal to us that it's the word demand. Demand. So this here is not prayer. This is the use of your authority. This is not prayer. This is the use of your authority. It's whatever you demand in my name, whatever you demand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So you find in Acts, the three, Peter and John, all right, at the hour of prayer, going to the temple. And then they met the man, you know, at the beautiful gate. And he thought they wanted to give him alms. He asked alms from them. And Peter said, look on us. You remember that? And Peter said to him, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Peter did not pray. Please understand that. Peter did not pray. Peter said, in the name. So what Peter did was he used the name. All right. So he asked. He made a demand. That's what this is, the verse here. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Meaning I'm in heaven. My name is used on earth. We ensure it happens. My Father will be happy about that. You're not asking. It's not a prayer. You're using my authority. I'm standing by it and say, yes, yes, it must happen. It must happen. Did you get that now? So Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Jesus goes, yes, it must happen, because you're using his name. He stands back of his name. Alright, he stands back of his name, and the Father is excited when we use the name of Jesus. Alright, the Father is excited when we use it. So this is not praying in the name of Jesus. This is using your authority. Using, remember what Jesus said in Mark 16 from verse 17? He said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. That's not prayer. That here again is using his name. It's not prayer. It's you speaking in the name of Jesus. It's you using the name of Jesus. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and recover. He didn't even say there, pray for the sick. He said they will lay hands. That's why you see Peter. Peter did not pray and, you know, Father, heal this man. He just said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He used his authority. He used the name of Jesus. Use that name. The name has been given to you. Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go into, it means go with my name. Go with my name. So he's giving us his name to use. He's giving us his name to take authority. He's giving us his name to bind and to loose. He's giving us his name that whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is in heaven. Use that name. Is there a situation around you right now? Something going on, not palatable. Do you need a minute? I could give it to you right here. Let's use. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take authority over something. Take authority. Maybe there's a sick family member around you right there. Go to that person right now. Yes, right now. Right now. Oh, but I don't feel it. No, go with the name. Go in the name of Jesus. Go with that name. Go and lay hands and say, I lay hands on you and I declare you recover in the name of Jesus. I command your recovery. He said, whatever you ask in my name. So, and the word ask, I said, is the word demand. So make a demand over that. Make a demand. Make a demand. You have a project and it's stalling. You don't know what it is. Make a demand. In the name of Jesus, I demand that this project flows freely. You're not talking to God. It's not prayer. It's actually Mark 11:23. You're speaking to the mountain and you're addressing it in the name. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Whatever it is that comes to mind right now, I know, oh, I need to address this. Rather than wait and say after the service, I'll do that. You might forget. Something might come up and take away right here, right now. Go ahead. Demand. Yes, 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 yes. You just have a few seconds. Please go ahead and demand. Demand for it. Demand for it. Demand for it. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Karaba pradagadosa. Mento rebo robo sim franagadase. Mantolo godoso. Freno goro goduse frete. Baro pan pradagadoso. Menko ragatande gedoso. Oh, felo lobo roko duso fiske boro godoso. Ninkalaba sentalagadasa. Ma prada. Eya kabatata bampala gabo fenono monto ento legedoso vefredo godoso edo godondo godogodoso mentora godanse geresi sisa bahadasa mampo hata hate hataha ete hete hahada hada ofrodo godoso peta kena hata hati hadasa. Yes, yes, take authority. Matori gada, bind that thing. Take it. You want to stand? Stand. Yes. Go ahead. Tata, tereko, proto, kusape, tentia, atata, etoso, fradoso, variakada. Use his name. Use his name. This might be why we had to leave what we're saying to come to this point. This might just be why. Use your authority right now. Use your authority. Whatever you demand, demand in my name. Whatever you demand in my name. Whatever you demand. Whatever you demand, kanamba prada kadoso peteke teke papratata. Speak to that mountain. Speak to it. You're not coming against the mountain in your strength. You're coming to the mountain. You're coming to the mountain in the name that is above every name. You're coming to the mountain in the name of Jesus. You're coming to the mountain. You're speaking to that mountain of sickness, that mountain of pain, that mountain of lack. They're calling it gone. They're calling it gone. In the name of Jesus, that mountain of debts and bills piling up. You say in the name of Jesus, I call for favor. I make a demand. I make a demand. I make a demand. You just ray poshataria tasata. Mano cabrara gadoso venanambro kotosite. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, while we're doing that, maybe you felt, oh, but I want to ask the Father something in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, do that. Whatsoever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will give it to you. That's what the Bible says in John 16. So ask. That's how to pray. That's, you don't say, oh, Jesus, I'm praying to you now. You could fellowship with Jesus, but the normal, the proper prayer format. The proper prayer format. All right. Oh, but maybe you're there. You feel, oh, but I pray the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a prayer given to the church to pray. All right. Haven't taught it to them, you know, when Jesus taught it to them, you don't find it mentioned at all in the book of Acts, right? You don't find them, you know, like in Acts 4, when Peter and John came to the rest of the guys and then they had to pray. The guy said, "Our Father," that was a good place because the Bible there recorded their prayer, at least gave us a summary of what they prayed. And that was a good place for the Bible to have just said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." All right. So, hey, Bible could have just said so. So Bible didn't say that. All right. Bible didn't say it. So Bible doesn't even record it afterwards. So it is believed that Jesus was just giving like a structure for prayer. All right. "Our Father who art in heaven." All right. "Hallowed be thy name." It's praise and worship. "Thy kingdom come." All right. "Will be done on earth as in heaven." Consecration, you know, just, you know, dedication to God's will. And then "Give us this day acts of provision." All right. And just a format. It's a format. Of course, all prayer ideally begins with praise and worship. Thanksgiving. You're acknowledging. All right. You're acknowledging. But fellowship, you could just, "Hey, dear Lord," you know, and talk to him. Talk to him, but you talk to the Father in the name of Jesus. So you want to do that, maybe, "Oh, that means I've been praying this thing wrongly." So you want to pray, right? Go ahead. Right? You want to pray, right? "Father, you know, in the name of Jesus," you know, just say what it is you want to say. Say what it is you want to say. All right? So we don't talk to Jesus. We don't pray to Jesus. And please, we don't pray to Mary. Please understand that. All right? Don't be sentimental about that. We do not pray to Mary. All right? So you go to John chapter 2 and you say, "But Mary was the one that told Jesus to do the miracle, you know, in Cana of Galilee." Yeah, but doesn't make, Jesus never now said, "Talk to my mother." All right. There's no verse in the entire Bible where he said, "If you tell my mother to talk to me," you know, but people say, well, if she could have gotten him to do a miracle in John 2, then she can get him to do any miracle. All right. Right now, listen, the mother of Jesus became a disciple of Jesus Christ. All right. Please understand that. She became a normal disciple of Jesus. There was a case in the Bible where Jesus was teaching. All right. And his mother and his brothers, they heard he had not eaten for 3 days. Okay. And then they came and to get him out. So they were outside where he was teaching. And the Bible said it was so that his mother and his brothers were waiting outside for him. He said, "My mother and my brothers are those sitting down here listening to the word." All right. I wish I could search for that quickly right now. I know I'll find it, but it just might take a minute or so. So, but he said, "My mother and my brothers are the ones here." Jesus said so. And please understand that Mary herself spoke in tongues. So Mary had to speak in. So if Mary will speak in tongues, then don't stop yourself and say, "Well, I'm a Catholic. I pray to Mary." No. So someone says, "How did you know Mary spoke in tongues?" All right. So Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 gives us an account of all the people in, you know, together with the apostles. All right. So Acts chapter 1 says from verse 12, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet," which from Jerusalem is a Sabbath day's journey. "And when they were come in," all right, "they went into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and, you know, Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judah, the brother of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." All right, so all of them were together in Acts chapter 1. These were the guys by Acts chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. They were already in one accord in one place from chapter 1. Did you notice that? So all of them plus Mary was there. Jesus had committed Mary to John, the beloved. So all of them were there, plus his brother. So by chapter 2, verse 1, Mary herself was part of the 120 people. You know? Are you getting me, guys? So Bible says, because watch this, verse 15. "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said," in bracket, "the number of the names together were about 120. So 120 of them were up here. All right. Mary was in the 120. So Mary, man, Jesus, you know, karaborobo, she talked in tongues. All right. Listen, the woman did not see Jesus as her son anymore. She saw him as her Lord. She had to get born again. She had to confess him as Lord. She had to understand, you know, even the disciples, nobody understood what was going on. They ran away. They saw him arrested. They ran away. Mary was crying. "Oh, my baby. Yeah, all that happened. But when he resurrected, he was with them for 40 days explaining things to them. So they understood the gospel. So Mary had to switch. His brothers, James is his brother. There's a James, the brother of John, and there's a James, the brother of Jesus Christ. All right. So you, Bible now says his brothers were here. So they now understood his mission. They say, "Whoa, oh, we believe, we confess you as Lord." Mary had to get born again. His brothers had to get born again. They had talking tongues. Is that okay for you? So if you're right there and you say, "Oh, I pray the rosary." No, come on. Talking tongues. Is that all right? Because that's the best prayer, you know, language. So Bible is letting us know the importance, all right, of praying in the Holy Ghost. So we were in Romans chapter
Romans 8, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what to pray for as well. Our human prayers are restricted. Our human prayers are limited. You could pray. So after praying, so Father, thank you for my job. Once you're done, just kin a man, prodogo doso, vereke dodo, dogo do. So what are you doing? The Holy Ghost is helping you cover the points you left out. He will cross the T's. He will dot the I's. What marvelous, marvelous, beautiful way that God gave us to pray. What marvelous, marvelous way. So I'll quickly just mention types of prayer. I'm not sure I want to do that on Wednesday. Basically I might prefer a new series kicking off on Sunday like I did now, this month. I wanted to start Wednesday, but we still touch what we did the last month on a Wednesday and then we kicked in. So, but there are now, because Ephesians 6:18 says praying always with all kinds of prayer. So there are different kinds of prayer, all right? So what people now make as a mistake is they use the rule for this prayer and apply it to this other prayer, and then we make a mistake. It's like ball. So you say, I'm playing ball. What kind of ball? Is it baseball, volleyball, basketball, football? The rules are different. In football, of course, foot. You use your feet to play. Basketball, use your hands. If you kick it, it's a foul, all right? In football, if you hold it, it's a foul, except you're the goalkeeper, all right? Or you're doing a throw in. So the rules are different as much as they are ball games. So same for prayer. Mark 11:24, for instance, is a classic prayer of faith. That's usually what it's called, a prayer of faith or a prayer of petition. All right, Mark 11:24 says, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it and you have it." So you say, I want accommodation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release my faith for accommodation right now. I thank you because I ask you for it. I desire. I ask you for it right now. I believe I receive it. And then, but apply scripture. Please pray with the word. Pray with the word. You said in your word, say something. You said, you know, I've been young and I'm old and I've never seen righteous or, you know, seed back bread. All right. You said, I mean, whatever you want to look for scriptures. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I do not lack accommodation. Philippians 4:19, you supply all my need. I need accommodation right now. So I mean, please use scripture. You don't just pray. Use scripture. Talk God's word to him. All right. It's like covenant. This is what he said. So this is what you're standing on to say, this is my assurance that you're going to do this. Right? You find that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Right? And if we know that he hears what we ask, we know we receive the thing we ask of him. So you need to learn to know the will of God and pray the will of God. So you have to understand the rule of prayer. So the prayer of faith is that prayer where you pray once, and you don't pray again after, because I haven't prayed, you believe you receive. I thank you for my accommodation. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you don't pray it again. Each time you just say, thank you, Father, because I believe I received it. I have asked for it. It's mine. It might take a while to adjust. Someone promises, someone fails, money was trying to come, money didn't come, something happened. Thank you, Father. It's mine. It's mine. We need to learn the place of faith and patience. All right. We've got to learn that. It's important. We're going to learn that very soon. It's very important. So that's a prayer of faith. Now you don't move the prayer of faith into the prayer of intercession. Prayer of intercession is when you are now interceding for someone. You are standing in a gap for someone, especially someone who is lost, not born again, someone who cannot access his own divine privileges. So he's standing in a gap for that person. Usually you don't pray that prayer once. You pray the prayer until you see what it is you're looking for. Same for the prayer of supplication. Prayer of supplication, intercession usually is used more for a non-believer. Supplication is used for the believer. Same Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto. Alright? With all prayer and supplication for the saints. Alright? You supplicate for the saints. Alright? So, Paul in Ephesians 1 tells them, I thank my God because I pray this prayer for you always. So, that means he didn't handle that prayer like a prayer of faith. Well, I prayed it for you one time, you're fine. No. It means he kept on praying. Alright? It's supplication. Alright? So, the prayer in Ephesians 1, Paul said, I pray for you always. We find in Philippians 1, you find it in Colossians 1. Paul says, I pray for you always. I'm always praying for you. This is my prayer for you. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, my little children, for whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. They were not unbelievers, right? He was supplicating. He was creating a huge supply of the Spirit for them. It's not the prayer of faith. It's not, I have accommodation, it's mine now. Now, even that, Bible says you can pray it in the Spirit. Now, you can pray out your accommodation in the Spirit. So what happens when you pray in the spirit? Maybe the landlord traveled out, you wanted the house, you know, but he just finally, you just prayed it out. And then you charged up a whole lot of things in the Holy Ghost by the help of the Spirit, because the Spirit now joined you to move that matter of your accommodation. So that's like praying all prayer and in the Spirit.
Alright, so the landlord has to now call his brother and say, that house, it's just always been there. Has anybody come? They've been coming, uncle, the price, they don't, okay, who looks okay? There's this guy, he looks okay, his money's not okay, give it to him. And then he calls you and says, well, I don't know, my uncle likes your profile, come and take the house. Alright? So, your tongues will come in there now. What if I'm praying and I just use my faith? Your faith is still working. Cause faith always works. Faith always works. But Paul says, prayer, okay, in the spirit, I'm just going to just roll everything up. Palaboroko duso, Father. Fire things up in tongues. So we've just touched how many now? Prayer of faith, prayer of supplication, all right? Prayer of intercession, all right? We find Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says that, you know, he would want that prayers and intercessions and supplications and giving of thanks be made for all men, especially for kings and for those in authority that may live a quiet and, you know, peaceable life. You find that, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, intercede. So I intercede for nations. All right. I intercede for kings. All right. You intercede. And then you do that. It's a different kind of prayer. All right. So a number of times my wife gets to get involved in intercession. Pray for nations. Pray for kings. She has a number of people, you know, Jane Hina. Just pray for nations. Pray for kings. All right. But then there's prayer for believers. It's a supplication more than an intercession. All right. Then there's a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, you know, prayer of faith. You release your faith for something you believe you have received. Do you understand that? Now, someone say, where is the prayer of, if it be your will? That really most times is not a prayer. What people are trying to do is the prayer of dedication and consecration. So you find Jesus saying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It was dedicating and consecrating himself. That's different from just being careless with if it be your will. So you don't pray, oh God, heal me if it be your will. That has killed many people's prayer. Give me long life if it be your will. It kills prayer. That is not prayer. That is a killer of prayer. All right. That's like pouring insecticide. All right. Or pouring something that can kill your plants. You know, you're trying to kill insects and you pour something that will kill plants. And then you just finish everything you got. All right. So you need to understand that this is the format. You got to get it. All right, so you have, all right, just so I need to round up. So let me round on prayer of thanksgiving and praise and worship, all right? It's prayer. Prayer is when you talk to God. It's fellowship with God, all right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is a part of prayer. You find thanksgiving mentioned in, you know, when prayers are being mentioned. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving. It's a type of prayer. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I think we'll stop there. All right, today. Yes, because time up. All right, but I'm sure someone was blessed. So let's apply two things. One is a lifting up of hands, and then two, thanksgiving. Could you just go ahead and thank him? Oh, we give you praise. Hebrews 13 and 15. All right, says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. All right. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. We give thanks unto your name, Father. We give thanks unto your name. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks unto your name. We give thanks. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give thanks unto your name. Thank you for the things we're learning. Thank you for how you're growing us again and again by the communication of your word and by the impartations of your spirit. Thank you because we're not the same. This month of June has been good for us. We've increased in knowledge. We've increased, and thank you because by your spirit we apply. We apply, and we thank you for the month of July. Oh, we thank you already. It's a great month. It's a wonderful month. It's a month crowned with goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your will for us. We appreciate you greatly and dearly in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So praise God. Wow. So glory, 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 glory to God. It's been exciting. All right, great announcement. So in the month of July, I will be teaching on faith and authority. Woo! Awesome, awesome. So this just takes us to the next level. But we're not going to stop prayer. So we're not, we're going to abide no prayer. Shay, now we can rest. There'll be no more prayer. No, no, no. We are praying, all right, because you cannot pray effectively without understanding faith. So we're now just adding to your prayer the things you need to learn better to make prayer effective. All right, so we're moving into faith and the understanding of your authority. That is wonderful. So let's see how Wednesday goes. Wednesday, I might tie up prayer and officially we kick up next Sunday, or we just fire up on Wednesday. But you've learned that already, right, to help you. So please invite friends. Let them join our services. I mean, so since we've taken it, you know, to the Facebook page, all right, let more people get blessed. Share the video. All right, share. Share. If you haven't shared this right now, share. All right, please share. And 5 p.m. this evening, join me on Instagram, Facebook, all right, YouTube, all right, Spreaker, and Twitter. And please share. I'm asking you, all right, please share this evening. All right, share this morning. Share this evening. Many people are being blessed and people are saying thank you. But I know we could share and reach more people. All right. So many more people can be reached. So please join me 5 p.m. All right. This evening, you will get the links through the leaders. All right. But you follow, turn on notification on Facebook, Larry Rex on Osanya. I have a personal Facebook. Go to the page, please. All right. Because we share to the page. I share from the page. There's a Larry Rex on Osanya as a page. All right. Public figure. Like, you're not, sending friend requests. Just please, follow. All right. I have like over 1,000. On a waiting list, and sometimes you need to check, okay, space is little, who do I add, who don't I add? But you could just follow, all right, just follow straight on the page, and turn on notifications. Subscribe on YouTube, please, if you haven't, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Lion Rex, and subscribe, turn on notification also, and Instagram, turn on notification too, please. And once anything happens, just share, all right? You could just travel everywhere quickly when it starts, and then come back to where, whatever platform you want to stay on. But go to Facebook, share. Go to YouTube, send a link, you know, if you want to, maybe to your WhatsApp contact, and then go to Instagram, and then just quickly send a video to, you know, some DMs, people that are comfortable with you, DMing them. Just do that and let's bless more people. Is that all right? Yes. And we're ending with me challenging again to give, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know that already, all right? But knowledge acted upon is what brings results. Bible says, all right, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So if I know it's more blessed to give, then I constantly need to be a giver. Oh, but I give. Yes, but you must always also intentionally and very deliberately give to where you are fed spiritually and to those that feed you spiritually. Galatians 6, above other scriptures, all right? Or amongst, rather, other scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says you do not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. It means when a cattle or a cow, rather, is helping you press, you know, your corn down, you know, to graze your land and, you know, to till agriculture stuff. You don't cover it much. You allow it to eat while it's doing that. So it means those who bless you spiritually should also enjoy. You see it in Romans, you see it in Galatians, you see it in Timothy, you see it in Thessalonians. It's all over scripture. When people bless you spiritually, find ways to bless them back. And no way is too little, all right? No way is too little to be a blessing to those who bless you spiritually. Let's be doers of the word. And like I said some weeks ago, God is not shy to talk about money. Jesus is not shy to talk about money. Larry, honestly, I will no longer be shy. We're not taking the money and doing funny things about it. We live by faith a whole lot and we give a whole lot. So please just, but learn to give to those who bless spiritually. Yes, it means, yes, Pastor X blesses me, I give to Pastor X. Oh, can I get his number? I could send a 100 naira recharge card and say, oh, thank you, sir. It's not until it's something big. And when you're faithful in little, God sees your heart. He knows you're faithful in big things. So it's all about that. And then you sow, you give to your church. All right, money comes to you. My church needs, you know, to be supported. It's kingdom. I give back because that's where I get my spiritual nourishment from. We pay staff salaries. All right, we do things here. All right, we spend money. All right, even the recordings, we rent the cameras. You know, we do stuff with money. So, hey, diesel is running all through the time. All right, the recording goes on. And then those who work office runs, you know, that's, I'm referring to Jebu Church here now. I mean, office runs and all of that. So there are things, I mean, Lagos Church had to send, now I know the leaders have been doing that. Some leaders in Jebu do that, but Lagos Church still had to, you know, send some things to members. And it's just beautiful that church can, and church can, would want to do more. I mean, Jebu, they give food, all right, to people. We could do more, want to do more. Even when the lockdown's over, we just always have food. We've done that before, ask people to bring rice, bring stuff. So whoever needs stuff, we get. So let's give. Provide for, you know, the people around you, but learn. So right here, I'm sure, all right, the account details are already on the screen. So whether it's Lagos Church or Ijebu Church, you have your account details right there. And I'm sure you already have the details anyway, but it's right there on the screen, please. And then if you're not in any of this, and like, where do I give to? The ministry account is right there. Or if you want to, okay, let me do Ijebu, let me do Lagos. I mean, you have all three out there. So, hey, you know, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He that sows, it's just God's word. Don't be scared. It's just, you act on it. It's not, oh, I don't have 10 million. No, the bountiful there is to whatever value of volume of what you have. If you have 2 kobo and then you give, you have 2 naira and then give maybe 50 kobo for 2 naira, you've given a whole lot than whoever had 10 million and gave 2,000 naira. All right. So you've done a whole lot. So, okay, Kobo, I use Kobo, right? So someone's wondering, what's Kobo? How's Kobo? You know, all right. But I'm sure you can factor that out somewhere. All right. So praise God. I'm sure you've been blessed. So thank you, Father, once again. Yep. Yep. And we speak to the month of July. We call it fruitful. We call it good. We declare that in July, scripture is fulfilled, that our path shines brighter and brighter. July, we call you lovely, fruitful. We call you loaded, all right? Because Bible says we're daily loaded. So July, you are loaded in the name of Jesus. We enjoy benefits. I speak to you. I call forth increase, favor. I speak as the apostle of God over this house. I speak blessings to your path. I declare that things not working, they work. All right, doors that are shut, they open. You enjoy favor. All right, and doors that are shut that need to be shut, you will hear better on what step to take to get to the right place. This season, your step will not falter. You'll be a bit more sensitive, a lot more sensitive. You will bear much fruit. And all that concerns you will be fruitful, will be good, will be great. You make mighty progress this season. I join my faith with God's plans for your life. I join my faith with you, and I speak over you. All right, as one set over this ministry, and I say, go forward, prosper, increase, excel, do well in good health and great wealth in the name of Jesus. All right, see you 5 p.m. this evening. Have a great afternoon. Bye.
I'm gonna trust you, Jesus. Though